turn in God's word to the book of Job. For the benefit of visitors in our midst today, I simply inform you that we have been studying this book over the past number of months. And we turn to chapter 22 today and also chapter 23. We're looking at later, especially a few verses from chapter 23. So Job chapter 22, Eliphaz accuses Job of wickedness. This is Eliphaz's third and final speech to Job. And then in chapter 23, Job answers. And he also says a lot more in the subsequent chapters that we'll consider later. So Job chapter 22 from verse 1. This is God's holy word that we read. Then Eliphaz the Temanite answered and said, "Can a man be profitable to God? Though he who is wise may be profitable to himself, is it any pleasure to the Almighty that you are righteous? Or is it gain to him that you make your ways blameless? Is it because of your fear of him that he corrects you and enters into judgment with you? Is not your wickedness great, and your iniquity without end? For you have taken pledges from your brother for no reason, and stripped the naked of their clothing. You have not given the weary water to drink, and you have withheld bread from the hungry. But the mighty man possessed the land, and the honorable man dwelt in it. You have sent widows away empty, and the strength of the fatherless was crushed. Therefore snares are all around you, and sudden fear troubles you, or darkness so that you cannot see, and an abundance of water covers you. Is not God in the height of heaven? And we see and see the highest stars, how lofty they are. And you say, what does God know? Can he judge through the deep darkness? Thick clouds cover him so that he cannot see, and he walks above the circle of heaven. Will you keep to the old way which wicked men have trod, who were cut down before their time, whose foundations were swept away by a flood? They said to God, depart from us. What can the Almighty do to them? Yet he filled their houses with good things, but the counsel of the wicked is far from me. The righteous see it and are glad, and the innocent laugh at them. Surely our adversaries are cut down, and the fire consumes their remnant. Now acquaint yourself with him, and be at peace. Thereby good will come to you. Receive, please, instruction from his mouth, and lay up his words in your heart. If you return to the Almighty, you will be built up. You will remove iniquity far from your tents. Then you will lay your gold in the dust, and the gold of Ophir among the stones of the brooks. Yes, the Almighty will be your gold and your precious silver. And then you will have your delight in the Almighty and lift up your face to God. You will make your prayer to him. He will hear you, and you will pay your vows. And you will also declare a thing, and it will be established for you, so light will shine on your ways. When they cast you down and you say, exaltation will come, then he will save the humble person. He will even deliver one who is not innocent. Yes, he will be delivered by the purity of your hands. Then Job answered and said, even today my complaint is bitter. My hand is listless because of my groaning. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come to his seat. I would present my case before him and fill my mouth with arguments. I would know the words which he would answer me and understand what he would say to me. Would he contend with me in his great power? No, but he would take note of me. There the upright could reason with him, and I would be delivered forever from my judge. Look, I go forward, but he is not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. When he works on the left hand, I cannot behold him. When he turns to the right hand, I cannot see him. But he knows the way that I take. When he has tested me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot has held fast to his steps. I have kept his way and not turned aside. I have not departed from the commandment of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. But he is unique, and who can make him change? And whatever his soul desires, that he does. For he performs what is appointed for me, and many such things are with him. Therefore I am terrified at his presence. When I consider this, I am afraid of him. For God made my heart weak, and the Almighty terrifies me, because I was not cut off from the presence of darkness, and he did not hide deep darkness from my face. Amen. Well, let us now turn in God's word to that second chapter that we read, chapter 23 in the book of Job. And today I'm just selecting a few verses from the chapter as our main focus in our message. That's verses 10 to 12 of Job chapter 23. So let's read these verses first of all, and then I'll preach from them. Job 23 from verse 10. But he knows the way that I take. When he has tested me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot has held fast to his steps. I have kept his way and not turned aside. I have not departed from the commandment of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. The German-born physicist Albert Einstein once said, "If I were given 1 hour to save the planet, that is the Earth, I would spend 59 minutes defining the problem and 1 minute resolving it." Whilst Einstein's statement may seem rather extreme, it does highlight the importance of defining problems in order to arrive at the solution to those problems. What applies in the field of theoretical physics also applies in most other spheres of life. It applies to the problems believers encounter in their spiritual walk in this world. If you have a problem and you can accurately define what it is, then it becomes easier for you to resolve it and to work through it. Job and his three friends all through these chapters have been trying to get to grips with the nature of Job's problem. And they have defined it like this: if God is a God of justice, who rewards the wicked for their wickedness and rewards the righteous in accordance with their righteousness, then how is it that Job, who claims to have done no wickedness, is receiving the reward which is due to the wicked? This is the problem as Job and his three friends have seen it. But have they correctly defined the problem? Part of the reason they have struggled to find a solution to the problem is that they have not, in fact, correctly defined it. This has resulted in the friends drawing a wrong conclusion Job must have committed some great wickedness that he either doesn't see or he's not telling us about. This wrong conclusion has then added to Job's great frustration. And it's when we get to the beginning of chapter 32, where Elihu starts to speak, that Job's problem is more accurately defined. The real problem is that since there's no one who is entirely righteous, not even a most righteous man like Job, but all are by nature sinners, falling far short of God's glory, and not even deserving life, then God is under no obligation to spare anyone adversity. That's the true nature of the problem. That is the problem. And Job will learn that lesson in the end. But in the meantime, because neither he nor his friends have been able to define his problem precisely, they're not able to come up with a resolution to the problem. Eliphaz, in his last speech in chapter 22, mentions specific sins he believes Job has committed. They are totally unfounded, and Job answers these accusations in chapter 29, a chapter we'll hopefully consider in the future. Whilst Job's three friends have completely missed the mark, Job nonetheless is getting closer to the mark. In chapter 21, he correctly concluded that God can allow the wicked to prosper for a time before he exercises his justice in punishing them. And since he can do that with the wicked, it's surely possible for him to allow the righteous not always to prosper, but to suffer adversity for a time before he vindicates them. In these verses of chapter 23, we find Job making further progress in understanding the nature of his problem and responding to it in the right way. First, in relation to his understanding of the problem, we see that Job is aware he is being tested. So this is our first heading from these verses this morning. Job is making spiritual progress, and what we see in these verses is that Job is aware he is being tested. He states it in verse 10, "But he, God," that is God, "knows the way that I take. When he has tested me, I shall come forth as gold." Job has become aware that one major reason for his adversity is that his faith is being tested. Here is a very valid alternative to the suggestion by Job's three friends that Job must have sinned for him to be experiencing such adversity. None of his three friends have come up with this. They seem to have had the mistaken notion that a man of true faith simply does not have adversity. And if he does experience adversity, then there's something very faulty about his faith. Now, that false idea has resurfaced again and again throughout Christendom. I was reading recently about two church leaders of a large international church who visited two of their church members, a husband and a wife. They were faithful members, and the woman was a leading member and a constant server in her church. Sadly, this lady developed a tumour in her body. And then following on from that, she became very severely depressed. Now, upon their visit to this lady and her husband, the church leaders told the woman that the reason for her condition was probably that she lacked the necessary faith to to be healed. The two church leaders had told her this in front of her husband, and in their own words, later they said they told her this in love and tact. After they told her, they were very surprised at her reaction. She became very angry that they were accusing her of lacking faith. The two church leaders went on in their account to tell of how this woman was deceiving herself by confusing her human carnal longing for health as faith. As they continued to assert their case for her lack of faith, the husband came within an inch of throwing the both of them out of the house. They had to leave quite quickly. Afterwards, as they relayed this story, they saw nothing wrong with anything they had done. And they went on to talk about the promises God makes to us to heal us or to answer our prayers as depending upon our faith. How damaging false teaching about faith can be. Here were two men who left no room in Christian experience, in Christian faith, for adversity. One wonders what they would have made of Job. Did they think his faith was lacking? Would they have been just like Job's friends? Job was suffering because of some sin he committed. And Job, who knows in his own heart that there's no intentional sin he has committed, sees that at least part of the reason for his adversity is the testing of his faith. And if those two church leaders had at least said to the woman, "Look, this is disastrous in one sense, but try, if you can, just to look upon this as God having some purpose in it, that through this he is testing your faith, and he's going to strengthen your faith through this ordeal." But there was none of that on their part. But this is how you and I can and should see our adversity. The difference between you and Job is that you have many references to the purpose in adversity in the New Testament that Job didn't have. In the letter of James in the first chapter, verses 2 and 3, James says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 7, it says that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. What verses these are to help you in the midst of your trial. Job didn't have these verses. And they plainly tell us that unpleasant as it is at the time, there is purpose in adversity. God uses it to test your faith. If you're able to see that, that will help you to persevere and to grow in your faith. So we see that Job is aware that he is being tested. And then something else we see in Job's response to his adversity is that Job has borne a good testimony. Job has borne a good testimony. We see this in verses 11 and 12. Job's testimony is, "My foot has held fast to his steps. I have kept his way and not turned aside. I have not departed from the commandment of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth. more than my necessary food. What a good confession, good testimony Job is able to make. He holds to his integrity. He's being tested and he's passing the test. He hasn't blamed God or accused God of wrongdoing or rebelled against God. He hasn't turned away from God. We see much of Job's Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, in Job. When he was severely tested, he was very much aware that he was being tested. In his human nature, he would have avoided the cross if there could have been another way of fulfilling his Father's will and another way of redeeming sinners. But like Job, his foot held fast to his Father's steps. He kept his Heavenly Father's way and did not turn aside. He didn't depart from the commandment of his Father's lips. He treasured the words of his Father's mouth more than earthly food for his body. He gave up all earthly comforts, and he was called of the Father to bear even more than Job. His was the ultimate test and the ultimate sacrifice, death, and cruel and humiliating death at that. Death on a cross. Job bore a good testimony while he was tested. Christ bore a good testimony while he was even more severely tested. We're seeing a biblical pattern. It is not unusual for God's people to be tested. Christ said to his disciples, John chapter 16, verse 33, "In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Well, we certainly shouldn't go looking for tribulation or trouble, but neither should we be surprised when or if it comes to us. For many of God's people, it does come in some form or other. Loss of a loved one, a problem in the family that doesn't go away, the long-standing sickness of a child, a broken relationship with someone who was close to you for so long, an unreasonable boss or work colleague who's continually agitating you, a problem in the church that goes on and on, an addiction someone close to you has, an unexpected personal illness, and you don't know when or if it will go away. For other believers in other parts of this world, there is physical persecution. And these are just a few of the trials that people in this world experience day by day. There are all kinds of problems that people in this fallen world must go through. For the unbeliever, some such problems are at their best annoyances in life. At their worst, they have the potential to drive them to utter despair. And for anyone here in such a situation, let me say this to you. You could have a whole new perspective on your problem if you were to come to know Christ as your Savior. Many of God's people have testified and can testify to their faith, making all the difference in how they were able to cope with their ordeal and how they survived it. It certainly made a difference to Job. It made a difference to Christ with his trust in his Heavenly Father. For God's people, their tribulations are not accidents or mishaps in life. They're all part of God's unfolding plan for their lives. That's the way to look at your trial. And that's what makes counsel which says to a believer who has become very sick that they haven't sufficient faith or they wouldn't have a certain sickness such a cruel and damaging thing. To you who believe, like Job and like Christ, you're to see your tribulations, whatever they are, as all part of God's plan for your life. There is purpose in them, as there was for Job. God makes use of them in your life to test you, and your role is to bear a good testimony through them. To be able to say with Job that in spite of them, or even through them, my foot has held fast to his steps. I have kept his way and not turned aside. That is to take the route that will end in blessing. To say with Job, I have not departed from the commandment of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. That too is the kind of testimony that will result in your ultimate blessing. You're passing the test God has set for you, and that's pleasing and glorifying to God and honoring to Christ your master. You're acting as he acted in the midst of adversity. And then there's another way we see Job in these verses making further progress and understanding the nature of his problem and responding in the right way. Not only is he aware he is being tested, not only has Job borne a good testimony, but thirdly, we see that Job sees a purpose in his trial. Job sees a purpose in his trial. In this regard, we return to those first words that we looked at in verse 10, where Job says, but he knows the way that I take. When he has tested me, I shall come forth as gold. It's in these last words of the verse. When he has tested me, I shall come forth as gold, that we see Job getting to the heart of the matter. The main overriding purpose of all his ordeal. The godly man Job has done well. He has arrived at that point where he has seen the purpose in his ordeal. Here we see him convinced that his afflictions will come to an end, and when they do, he will be the better for them. I shall come forth as gold. Matthew Henry aptly comments concerning the Lord's people who are afflicted. He says that they shall come forth as gold, pure in itself and precious to the refiner. They shall come forth as gold, approved and improved, found to be good and made to be better. Gold is a very precious and a very valuable substance. And the soul is very precious and very valuable to God. Like gold, the soul in this world is affected by and is corrupted by all kinds of impurities. It needs to go through a process of refining. Gold refining is an enormously and highly involved process, whether you're dealing with recycled gold from jewellery or raw gold ore straight out of the earth. Experts in trading gold will tell you you should only trust professionals who have a good reputation for getting the job done correctly with this complex process of refining gold. And God, who created the soul, is the expert in getting the job done correctly of refining your soul. Just as gold is subjected to all kinds of refining processes, some of them involving very high temperatures, so God, in refining your soul, must put it through certain processes that are painful for you. And the end result? One expert in gold refining, after detailing the long process of refining gold, says this about the end result. The result of all this work is worth it, however. At the end of the process, we get to enjoy beautiful gold jewelry, gold coins, and decorative gold items of every kind. And we can appreciate the long process and the careful work that went into refining the gold that went into all of those objects. It's the same for the child of God. The result of God's work of refining the soul by trials, adversities, and sufferings is worth it. At the end of it all is a beautiful soul, perfect in holiness, and fit for glory, and to be with Christ. And Job sees this. He's now able to look upon his trial and see this purpose in it. God is refining him, and he shall come forth like gold. This is what he now knows. Remember that when you're in the midst of your trial. If you can see it as God performing his refining process in you, so that one day you will come forth as gold, that will help you to bear it and to press on, submitting your life to God no matter what. Believe that's what he's doing in you, and you shall one day come forth as gold, with every last imperfection, impurity, and stain removed from your soul as you dwell in the presence of Christ, your Redeemer. What great progress Job has made. What an example we have in him. His confidence has grown. Although neither he nor his friends have yet found the answer to the reason for his suffering, Job's faith has been strengthened nonetheless. As he's aware he's being tested, you also must strive to look upon your trial in that light. As he bore a good testimony in the midst of his adversity, that is what you must strive to do. Don't forsake the faith because of something severe that you don't understand. Job didn't fully understand his ordeal, but he still held to God and his word. And then ultimately, as Job saw a purpose in his trial, that through it he would come forth as gold, you also seek to see that purpose in your trial. And by all these means, you will be preserved until you see Christ face to face, and you won't be ashamed, because then the refining will be done and you will be like him. Amen.